Hey, it's Nishant, and welcome to Higher IQ. It's Tuesday, August 25th. On this day in 1609, Galileo Galilei climbed to the top of a bell tower in Venice carrying a telescope, and he changed how human beings decided what is true. The telescope had been invented the year before, but not for looking at the sky. Nobody had ever pointed one upward. It was actually built for war, a tool for spotting enemy ships before they appeared on the horizon. What Galileo saw when he pointed it at the heavens didn't just reveal new facts about the universe. It introduced an idea that we now completely take for granted, that seeing for yourself is a better way to know than trusting what you were told. Okay, let's get into this one. The year prior, in 1608, a Dutch spectacle maker named Hans Lippershey did something that sounds boring, but ended up changing the structure of human knowledge. Lippershey ran a lens grinding shop in the city of Middelburg, which is in the Netherlands. He applied for a patent for a device that, as he described it, was for seeing things far away as if they were nearby. This was not some abstract curiosity project. Spectacle making was a mature industry by the 1600s. Venice and Florence had been grinding lenses for glasses since the 1300s, and the trade had spread north to the Netherlands and Germany. People had been looking through single lenses for centuries. But what nobody had done was line up two lenses inside of a tube and point them at something. The popular story is that Lippershey watched two kids in his shop holding up lenses and noticed that they could see a distant weather vane a little bit more clearly. There's no real proof that that's true or not, but what is true is that Lippershey built the device and immediately understood what it meant for one specific purpose: war. At this point, the Netherlands was deep in the 80 Years' War with Spain. Spotting an enemy ship before it spotted you was not a convenience, it was survival. Lippershey did not present his device as a tool for understanding the universe. He presented it as military technology. Good way to make money, huh? He filed his patent application with the States General, which is the Dutch governing body, on October 2nd, 1608. He did not get the patent. Other spectacle makers came forward claiming that they had the same idea, and the Dutch authorities decided the invention was too easy to replicate to justify a monopoly, but they paid Lippershey well for copies of his design. They commissioned him to build binocular versions, two tubes side by side for both eyes. Here's the thread that connects all of this to what happened on this day in 1609. A diplomatic report started circulating around Europe. It detailed an embassy from the Kingdom of Siam to The Hague in September 1608. Tucked into the end of this report, almost as a footnote, was a mention of this new Dutch device that made distant objects appear closer. The report reached an Italian monk named Paolo Sarpi in Venice. Sarpi was deeply interested in optics and science. He even told a friend of his about this curious invention, and that friend was a 45-year-old mathematics professor at the University of Padua named Galileo Galilei. Galileo in 1609 was not the towering figure that we know now. He was a capable mathematician who had already irritated the academic establishment by questioning Aristotle. He had a reputation for being sharp, argumentative, and usually correct. When Sarpi described the Dutch device to him, Galileo did something characteristic. He didn't just replicate it, he reverse-engineered it from the description alone and then made it so much better. The original Dutch telescope magnified things about three times. That's pretty good, right? Well, Galileo ground his own lenses and within months produced a device that magnified 8 or 9 times. On August 25th, 1609, he traveled to Venice and demonstrated it to the ruling council. He took the Venetian lawmakers, including the Doge, which is like the head of the ministry or the president at that point. The person's name was Leonardo Donato. Well, he took those lawmakers and the Doge to the top of the St. Mark's Capinelle, which is the tallest bell tower in the city. He had them look through his tube at ships approaching the harbor. They could see vessels 2 full hours before they came visible to the naked eye. For a maritime trading empire like Venice, this was not a party trick. It was a military advantage of staggering proportions. You could prepare your docks, your defenses, your prices, all before the ship even appeared on the horizon. It's pretty amazing. The Venetian Senate acted immediately. They doubled Galileo's salary. They gave him a lifetime appointment at the university too. And then Galileo did something that nobody saw coming. He stopped pointing the telescope at ships and pointed it straight up at the night sky. This was not the obvious next step. Nobody had ever thought to point a magnification device at the heavens, because the heavens were not considered a thing that you needed to look at more closely. They were already understood. Aristotle had explained everything. The moon was a perfect, smooth celestial sphere. The stars were fixed lights embedded in crystalline spheres. The planets, which is Greek for wanderers, moved in their own nested spheres. This had been settled knowledge for 2,000 years, so you don't need to look for new information when you already have the answers. What Galileo saw when he turned his weapon upward was not settled at all. Galileo believed that the moon had mountains. He sketched them in his notebook. Crater rims casting long shadows, peaks catching the sun's first light before the plains below. He used the length of those shadows to estimate the height of the lunar mountains. He calculated some peaks rising 4 miles above the surface. Modern measurements put the tallest lunar mountains somewhere around 3.5 to 4 miles. A guy in 1609 with a handmade tube of glass was within a few hundred feet. Pretty incredible, huh? Then he looked at Jupiter. Next to the bright disk of the planet, he saw 3 small, faint stars in a line. The next night, he looked again, and they had moved. Over several nights, he tracked them and realized that they were not stars at all. They were moons. Moons orbiting Jupiter. This contradicted everything. If moons could orbit Jupiter, then not everything in the universe orbited the Earth. The old model, the one that had stood unquestioned since before the Roman Empire, was not just wrong, it was not possible. He looked at Venus and he saw it go through phases, just like our moon does, from a thin crescent to nearly full and back again. The only way that made any sense was if Venus orbited the sun, not the Earth. None of these observations on their own definitively proved that Earth moved around the sun. Copernicus had proposed that decades earlier, and Galileo was just increasingly convinced he was right. But together, the mountains on the moon, the moons of Jupiter, the phases of Venus, they made the old model completely untenable. The universe was not a set of perfect crystalline spheres with Earth at the center. It was a messy physical place, and it looked exactly the way that it would if Copernicus had been correct all along. Okay, so what happened next? Well, the church objected. Galileo was investigated, warned, and eventually put on trial. He was forced to publicly renounce his findings and spent the last years of his life under house arrest. The standard version of the story is about science versus religion, but that framing misses something important. When some of Galileo's critics refused to look through his telescope, the issue was not really whether the telescope worked. They suspected that it did. The issue was that the telescope itself was a threat to a way of knowing. For 2 millennia, truth came from authority. Aristotle said it, Galen said it, Ptolemy said it, and the church endorsed it. You did not discover the truth, you received the truth. The telescope introduced a competing and destabilizing idea that a single person with a tool and a pair of eyes could overturn centuries of accepted wisdom. If a mathematics professor with a tube could disprove Aristotle in a week, well, then what was the point of a university degree? So let's close this one out. The telescope feels like museum technology now, something between a pirate spyglass and a tripod on a suburban balcony. But the assumption it created, that looking is a better way to know than trusting, that one observation can topple 1,000 years of consensus, is still the water that we swim in. Every time you ask for evidence, every time that you pull out your phone to check a fact instead of taking someone's word for it, every time you default to, let me see for myself, you're operating inside the world Galileo opened when he climbed a bell tower in Venice and pointed his telescope at the sky, 417 years ago today. I close every episode this way, but truly, stay informed, stay curious, emphasis on the curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.